he's low, but it's weird. Like, you look at him, you're like, oh, he's just going to be straight power. But the way he gets off the ball and he can get his hips through, and like he turns into like almost, I don't know how to say it, but like a little ballerina almost. And like the way he's able to move his body around, it doesn't make sense how big he is. He's able to move like that.
Yeah.
And so like he's able to quickly get upfield and does a great job in the run game, like swimming past people or just, you know how you do like arm over, like if you're getting beat on outside zone, you arm over and pull him up the field.
Right.
He does that on defense, and it's great to see that. Like he watches us and does our moves against us too.
Bills center Connor McGovern on Deion Walker.
He's had a really good preseason. I asked Joe Marino this exact question. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, joining us here on the Western Hotline. Joe, good morning. Jeremy and Sneaky Joe here. I asked you this question last night on the Bills Squad show. Could it have gone any better for Deion Walker, the fourth round pick who came in with, you know, injury concerns and some potential red flags? But here we are. So anyway, good morning. And if you want to start there, I liked your answer last night. I think it's a good start.
Yeah, good morning, guys. And yes, it's been a really, really good start for Deion Walker. Obviously didn't have the 2024 campaign that he was looking for, and then we later find out that there's a back injury, and you're kind of wondering how is that going to impact the rookie season. And he was off the rep entering training camp, and he's been full go. And it's been exciting to see. He's certainly come in and maximize the best parts of his game, which to me are the movement skills, obviously, for the size. Then he's just got a lot of upper body power, whether it's with his hands or just the amount of mass he has up top. And you kind of blend that together, and he's maximizing that right now to beat these blocks. And one thing that's been really consistent with Deion Walker throughout his entire football journey is that he's got a really good nose for the ball. And so it's working for him right now. I love where he's headed. And I think the next challenge for Deion is, you know, the reality of, all right, you're going up against starters now.
Yeah.
In the preseason, he's playing backups for the Bears, Giants, Bucks, and he made them look silly, and that's exactly what you wanted to do. But the challenge gets tougher, and obviously, I think it's really competitive when you think about the snaps behind Oliver and Jones. And I'm curious to see how Walker slots in and between him and Sanders and Carter and, you know, can those guys keep Phillips on the practice squad? It's a good little competition brewing there, and I'm excited for where Walker's trending.
You know, between Walker and T.J. Sanders and Maxwell Harrison and Cole Bishop, I was mentioning to Joe, one of my takeaways from last night from Hard Knocks was a very small little comment McDermott made when he's at the round table at the hotel in Tampa with Tracy McGrady and Vince Carter, the minority owners for the Bills. And he kind of said something that they just moved right on from, which was, you know, we got some young players we're going to need a lot from, or some version of that. And Joe, kind of struck me that that's probably on McDermott's mind a lot, that this defense, it's going through this change, and a lot of its success might come down to the kind of contributions they get from their first and second year guys. I mean, I almost want to include Bishop in the group as a first year guy, but like, how much of their success do you think will come down to needing someone that's one of the young guys to make a big difference?
Yeah, I think it's important. And actually, Sean mentioned this, I think it was at the owner's meeting where he was at a round table taking questions from media. And he talked about, hey, the reality is we're going to be kind of young on defense. And so it's probably eating up at Sean McDermott, who, you know, I think he likes guys that he can trust. They're going to go in and do their 1-11th. And now he's got to rely more than ever on young players. And obviously it's going to define so much of where this defense is heading. I mean, the reality is, if you look at defensive tackle, Oliver and Jones, Oliver will play 60 to 70% of snaps. Jones will play around 50%. There's a lot of snaps that are going to be filled by Carter, Sanders, and Walker. And those guys have a combined 315 NFL snaps. And all of those are Carter's last year. And so those guys are going to have to step in very quickly and fill their roles and provide an impact. And obviously, you know, that's huge for the overall success of the defense, but specifically this defensive line conversation that's been going on for, you know, closing in on 9 years of, can these investments fulfill the promise that they're supposed to? And let's hope this crop does it, because there's a lot of black eyes when it comes to D-line investments, and these guys need to pan out.
Yeah, I wonder if you think like Baltimore is like the biggest challenge they could have also right out of the gates without Ogunjobi and Hoyt, that defensive line. And I'm thinking, calling back to Joe, some of the things that you had concerns about with Walker specifically, and me wondering like if this Baltimore matchup is like the perfect challenge for those things with him.
Yeah, it'll be a good test. I mean, I think about the foil of interior offensive linemen that he's going to face, where their center, Tyler Linderbaum, one of the best three or five centers in the league, but smaller, you know, pushes 300 pounds when he's soaking wet, and he can really move, and he's a technician, and he's an outstanding football player, but he doesn't really come with much size. Contrast that to their right guard, Daniel Fa'alele, who might be 400 pounds, you know, so that's going to be, you know, Godzilla versus King Kong in those matchups. And so he'll be stressed in some different ways, and, you know, he'll be able to show the technique and where he's at. I mean, he's going to play. They're going to need reps. And look, Baltimore showed up last year with 200 rushing yards in every game, it feels like. And it's a unique challenge because of Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, but also they have contrasting players with that offensive line that can challenge you with athleticism, can challenge you with power and mass. And so learning on the job real quick here. And, you know, that's the thing about Baltimore week one is I don't think it's going to be a great representation of where the Bills defense is actually going or how it's evolved. That's not going to be a good measuring stick, but it will be a week long conversation regardless of how it goes. But, you know, I don't. That's such a unique opponent that stresses every team in really unique ways that I don't think it's going to be a great measuring stick. But I know the inevitable conversations that we'll be having until week two against the Jets.
It'll be an important game, regardless of how the teams look. Joe, looking over the roster altogether, like it's not one of these years where we had a big roster surprise in the initial 53, and that might really be because of the four decisions they didn't have to make, right? Michael Hoyt, Larry Ogunjobi, Maxwell Hairston, Tylan Grable. So maybe the surprise comes in 4 to 6 weeks. Injuries, of course, could factor in there. How do you feel like they're going to figure out the guys that are on the bubble, like the first four out once those four come back?
Yeah, it's really fascinating. And I think my immediate question is, all right, Sam Franklin, are you a practice squad signing or are you an active roster player? And where, if it's an active roster player, where does it come from? And I think of three things. One and two is Jordan Hancock and Trey White. Could those be players that they put on injured reserve? Now, remember, you can only put two players on injured reserve on cutdown day, and the Bills did that with Grable and Hairston. Are they going to put one of White or Hancock on injured reserve? I think that's a possibility. Or could they just trade or cut Elijah Moore, and because the Bills are a little heavy at wide receiver, kind of where compared to where we expected that to be. So if he's on the active roster, you know, then I think it becomes even more complicated. But kind of my approach here is you look at the way that this Bills season stacks up. You have Hoyt and Ogunjobi that are suspended for 6 weeks. And so you play 6 weeks, you have a bye, then you come out of the bye and you face Carolina. I think that first 6 weeks is going to be a big evaluation period, and I think you will see some big changes on the 53 coming out of that. Of course, because you're bringing back Hoyt and Ogunjobi, but I can see Grable and Hairston being on a similar timeline where, you know, Hairston has this really interesting situation of we got to get the knee right, but we also got to get ready to play. I think they'll want to take their time there, and that sweet spot feels like coming out of the bye into the Carolina game. And then with Grable, I mean, usually when concussions linger, they linger. And it feels like that's what's happening here. I don't know that it's a strategy to get Chase Lunn on the roster or not. But point being is I think there's 6 weeks of evaluation and there's going to be some decisions to be made. Obviously, injuries will take care of it. But the reality is some of these guys are going to perform well and some aren't. And from there, I think there'll be the opportunities to get some of these guys back on the roster.
What do you expect the corner room to look like when Hairston walks back into it, and especially first couple games? We don't know about Trey White yet. Maybe you think Dane Jackson being released is a good sign for him. If he's going to miss any time, Joe, like, how do you feel about their current corner room, not including like maybe Levi Wallace signs the practice squad? He's maybe in town. But the guys they have on the roster right now, if they had to replace Trey White.
Well, what's interesting to me about Hairston compared to every other corner that they have not named Christian Benford is how uniquely different they are. You know, Maxwell Hairston's this super explosive athlete with big time ball skills, but a little undersized. That is not the case for any of these other guys. They are average athletes. And they profile more as like true zone players. And I think this Bills defense is going to want to be a pressure-oriented defense where they're sending 5- and 6-man pressures consistently, and that's going to put these corners in situations where they are one-on-one, there's a lot of real estate, and they're counting on the rush to get there and hurry throws and, you know, for these quarterbacks to not be able to work matchups. And so Harrison's so fundamentally different, and I feel like he's an important piece of this defense being what they envision it to be with this new direction and Ryan Nielsen's influence. So I wonder how it holds up stylistically without that skill set across from Christian Benford. And so I think they have to maybe play a little bit differently, and I do wonder what it looks like. And, you know, it's about marrying that rush and that coverage and how they complement each other. And I think it's going to be unique this year. But I think that skill set that Harrison provides really unlocks what this defense is supposed to be. When is he going to be healthy, and when is he going to be ready to play? I think the Bills will be pretty eager to get him back when they can because of how different he is than the other options.
Joe, the all-22 of that Bucs game, how much can you get out of that? Like, what comes out of that for you when you're looking at let's talk defense and Cole Bishop, who played quite a bit there. Like, the game against the Bears, he didn't play that many snaps, but we came out of that with some big concerns. The Bucs game, he plays more, makes some plays. How much can be taken from an all-22 in a game like that where it's, you know, a lot of backups?
Well, for me, it was a very focused all-22 watch where there were a handful of players that you knew were going to make the team that were playing, and I wanted to get eyes on them. Cole Bishop obviously being one, the young defensive lineman, Tyrell Shavers. And then from there, it was really what can I pay attention to in terms of who's playing, when they're playing, and who they're playing with. And, you know, you were able to kind of uncover that, well, you know, Dane Jackson's playing the first three quarters of this game. He might not stick around. And then, of course, he was released. But what I can appreciate specifically about Cole Bishop, because I feel like that's where you were wanting me to take this answer, is I think Bobby Babbage did a good job of isolating him in situations and demanding him to be aggressive. And so you saw early in the game, they play him kind of as an apex defender, kind of an overhang. And he's, I guess you would even call it maybe like a tight aligned slot. And they send him through the A-gap, give him a chance to go run blitz and go attack the football. And he makes a nice tackle. And then they have a third down play, and they show a too high safety look. And at the snap, they rotate into cover one. And now Cole Bishop becomes this hole defender, right? This rat in the hole where he's responsible to clean up things over the middle. And they get this slant route that Bishop perfectly drives on and disrupts at the catch point, an incomplete pass on third down. And then you saw him kind of play from depth and make some physical tackles as well in 12 snaps. I mean, it's a lot. So I think they did a good job of exposing him a little bit and saying, hey, like, go make the play or don't. And he did. And I think it was really good growth week over week. And I still think that I'm not denying that Cole struggled against the Bears, but can we be honest? The guy missed like several weeks of practice. He gets in tossed into a joint session, and then he plays on Sunday, and he's playing with backups. You know, I don't know that it was a great showcase opportunity, but what the Bills have done is leverage that into hey, you better make sure your pencil sharpened here with kind of the messaging that they had. And I think he responded really well, and I think he'll be your week one starter, and obviously hoping to see him continue to grow and develop into the player they drafted him to be in the second round.
Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast and Bills Squad Show. You can find those on YouTube, where we are streaming our show as well. You can find them at wherever you get your podcasts as well. Joe, thanks again.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast.
Also, by the way, he's gone out, but he just launched his new website, thejoemarino.com. So you can get all his stuff there and all the links to everything. So
he is one of the hardest workers. Joe Marino, Sal, you know, you got people that putting out tons of Bills content, doing a great job. All right, when we get back, I got a very, very fast game where I'm just going to mention a name.
Okay.
A name.
One name.
Just to see the look on your face. That's it.